I'm Todd Mack.
And I'm Joe Dorowski.
We're the hosts of the Protagonist Podcast, where each week we discuss a great character in a great story.
If you listen to us, your fancy will be tickled.
And your thoughts will be provoked.
One reviewer described us as fanboys with PhDs.
Our discussions cast a wide net, alternating between TV, comics, films, and novels.
In one episode, we may discuss a Spanish telenovela, and the next week, an American superhero comic.
That was January 2016.
Or one week, we might discuss a Japanese manga, and the following week, a Jane Austen novel.
That was October 2016.
Check out the Protagonist Podcast.
Great characters in great stories.
Welcome back to Rocky Minute, the daily podcast where we look like a girl out there, one Kentucky Fried idiot at a time. I am Jason.
I'm Doug.
And joining us again today, was it Thursday, right? Joining us today on this wonderful...
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah. Joining us today on this wonderful Tuesday is Jerry Porter. Welcome back, Jerry.
Oh, thank you. Very glad to be back.
And today on this Tuesday and or Thursday, we are knocking out Minute 67, which begins with, I'd rather eat it than chase it, and ends with 500 times.
Hmm. I'd rather eat it than chase it. Isn't that true?
Well, first, yeah, I mean, that's a little backwards. Just, you got to chase it first, then you can eat it.
Mm-hmm. You're right, right, right.
Yeah. Oh, you're thinking of...
Well, you got to read between lines there, Jay. it's not funny if you explain
you're
it.
You're thinking of...
Jay, you ain't very mature.
I had a question about that quote. So, so Mick says, well, neither are you very mature. And so is that just a chicken chasing taunt? Or does Mick believe that Rocky is immature?
The way these two argue is like a couple of children. Mm-hmm. Because I said it last season in the fight after Rocky, you know, goes out for round 15. He tells Mickey, if you stop this fight, I'll kill you. And then Mickey says, you want to go out there? Go out there. Rocky says, I'm going. Go ahead. You want to go? Go. the way they argue is like a couple of children. I don't think he meant anything by it. It's just, you know, Rocky said it ain't mature. Mickey says, well, neither are you.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, just what he does.
He has a lot of respect for Rocky. And at the same time...
He doesn't.
I don't want to say he doesn't. I guess his job and his role is to push him. Mm-hmm. Just always to push him or to sort of question him in a way where he's questioning himself, but only to, you know, sharpen his tools or get his head right. Or he tells him, one of my favorite lines, he says, go soak your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the irony of that is when I thought about that line, Rocky doesn't need to soak his head. You know who actually soaks their head in the movie? Adrian, when she's in the coma. Mm-hmm. She's the one who does the head soaking.
Right.
Yeah, she literally is kind of knocked out of the movie. She takes a break mentally. She's all shut down, soaking her head, and then she comes back. And she's like, win.
Well, that's the moment of Rocky's turn.
Yes.
It's because he finally got her blessing. Now he kicks it into high gear.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jay. I'm talking ahead. I'm talking ahead, and Jay's glaring at me.
Well, I was just thinking about their relationship, you know, Mick and Rocky's relationship. What you know, he tears him down, I guess, to build him up.
You know, it's funny because... He did a lot of barking at him in Rocky One, in the first Rocky. Mm-hmm. And here, we're going to see it, you know, in the next few minutes, how he kind of, like, takes a more gingerly approach when dealing with Rocky and whatever shit's going on in his head. Yeah, he does a little barking at him, but, you know, I don't want to step on anybody else's minute, but when he's not doing... When he's not doing what he's supposed to do when he's sparring, he says, what's the matter, kid? You're okay? Is your head okay? Like, he doesn't bark at him. He's kind of treating him with kid gloves.
Can you stop talking about other minutes?
I'm sorry.
This is minute by minute. Right now, we're in minute 67. And all you two have done is talk about all the minutes other than the minute we're f***ing in.
Oh, he's barking at us like Mickey.
Well, the thing, I mean, the movie.
So far, Jerry has brought up Eye of the Tiger, Ivan Drago. We're not even the f***ing movie.
Tommy Gunn.
Tommy Gunn.
Well, the thing is, you know, what's so great about Rocky are these themes. That's what I was looking just throughout, these themes. And I'll tell you one. Stairs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stairs. Mm-hmm.
Play a very important role.
Stairs play movies. A very important role in these Rocky movies. And you know, this goddamn minute be damned. Let's talk about minutes with stairs in them. You talk about
there's
like,
no stairs in this minute.
There are no stairs in this minute, it's true. But there's a courtyard. No, but stairs.
There's some emotional stairs.
That's where there's a lot of the things take place. You know, with Adrian, she's always on the stairs. She's telling Rocky, you know, no, don't do this. I'm not cool with this. They're on different levels. Anyway, back to the minute.
I want to say one more thing about stairs, Jay, if I may step on back to Pete the Retailer. He had the minute where Rocky goes up to see Mickey, and he has to climb the stairs. Like Mickey had to do in the first Rocky, climb the stairs to go see Rocky to ask him for a favor.
Well, this is okay because you're going backwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll allow you to go backwards.
And we compared it to like a gauntlet. Like, you know, the stairs are the gauntlet that you have to walk through in order to get what you're looking for.
That's great. And at the top is this ogre with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's not going to be easy.
Slapping you in the face.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you see the stairs always come up, you know. It's what Rocky is carrying Adrian up, you know, in their more romantic moments. And also, it's always, you have a pick of a choice of movies. You know, when you look at Adrian's, you know, looking down at Rocky, and she's always in the stairs like, dude, why do you got to do this manhood thing again?
She does that in this movie. She does that in Rocky IV.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Yeah, wow.
So.
That's I like that. Stairs. Yeah. Stairs.
You know, what's interesting is, and I think why you know, Mick does the chicken chasing is it's humbling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll wake you up, and I think that's why Mick chooses it. Because, look, he knows Rocky really well. He knows something is way off. Way off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think he's giving him a minute to try and... Like, how many days has this been? I don't know, 4 or 5? Not that many.
Of training?
Yeah, of training.
This is one.
This might be the first.
Oh, is it the first?
Okay. It might be, yeah.
It might be the first. So, you know, I just feel like he's... He's not taking him aside yet and saying, hey, what is going on? You know?
No, not yet. Yeah, he doesn't
really. He clearly knows that this has nothing to do with that guy from that movie, Rocky.
Right.
Yeah.
You said last minute that he's, he hasn't been, he hasn't showed really how his heart isn't in this yet. Like you said last minute, he's been passively kind of going back at Mickey with, you know, I can't learn to fight right-handed now. And now he's, you know, he's kind of giving him shit about having to chase a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really not going to put on the brakes until, like, later on this week when Mickey notices something's really wrong.
There's this pall of self-doubt over him, you know, throughout that. I don't remember seeing it like this in the original.
I don't think he had it.
Yeah.
I don't think he had it in the original.
Well, in the original, he has literally nothing to lose.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he's got, like, you know, two turtles
mm-hmm.
and, like, I don't know.
Crappy
about
apartment.
It. Yeah, yeah, like a handball.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he has nothing to lose. That's what's so difficult is in Rocky I, he gains something. You know, he gains the respect of his community and the city. And his own, I mean, what's fascinating is I don't think Adrian cares one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, now he has all that on the line, and now that's really something to lose.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I just want to say, it's really weird that how he's walking around, and within, I guess it's 6 months, according to the movie, all these locals are, like, dogging the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They're all like, yeah, can't you think of anything else to say besides whoops?
Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he's just like, dude, that's Rocky Balboa. Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, so if you go 15 rounds with the world champ and you're this, you know, little nobody from this, you know,
yeah,
just inner city gym that has nothing to do with anything, and you're like, you're just like a thug hanging out at the dock to go 15
yeah,
rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't even last 6 months. I feel like you should be able to open like a, you know, like a Ford dealership or something that'll last for like 30 years. Rocky Balboa's Philadelphia Ford.
But I think as much as he is the hero of the hometown hero of Philadelphia, whatever, maybe in the boxing crowd, he's not respected because ultimately he did get a lucky shot. He didn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's probably fighters that were higher contenders than him that feel like they should have gotten that shot and they didn't. And they kind of just feel like he, you know, he did get lucky and he didn't deserve the shot. So maybe in the fighting circles, he's not very respected.
That's really interesting. That's a good point. And I'd say, you know, that might be fine if he, you know, got punked in round one. But he went 50, he went the distance. So through the fight was the actual crucible, which you're like, no, the fight is where he gets the respect. So you really can't take that away. Whether, even if he didn't deserve the opportunity before, during the 15 rounds, he earned that opportunity. He at very least proved himself.
Yeah, if he got knocked out in the second round of the first fight, like he might have been the most famous guy in Philadelphia for, you know, the month and a half leading up to the fight, but then he'd be a nobody after.
Exactly. But and if afterwards he did a couple commercials and had a GoFundMe page and he made like $800,000, maybe these other fighters would be upset. They'd be like, "Oh, that's bogus. That's just Hollywood nonsense. Come on."
But you that's know? Human nature. You know, like I work with people that have gotten things that I don't think they deserved, and they could have gotten this thing that I didn't think they deserved, and then went on and did something fantastic, something great, like something legendary, and I would still be like, they didn't f-ing deserve that shit. F-ing. I could have done that better than that if I had been in that opportunity. So it's human nature that if you're in the same arena as these guys, you're in the same boxing circles, he gets the lucky break, he goes on and goes the distance, there's going to be guys be like, well, I could have beat him. If mm-hmm. I had the opportunity, I would have beat him in the 13th round or whatever. So I don't know.
Well, no, you have a good point, except, and I would tell that fighter, you have a good point, except that, I'd say, but Apollo Creed put on this extravaganza. It was like a fun thing to do.
To the fans, yes.
Yeah, it was like Apollo Creed's allowed to do that if he wants. He said, you know what, I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to let some chump step in the ring with me, and, you know, it's going to be fun. And you're like, okay. And he sort of picks Rocky. They're like, let's get this guy. He'll make a great story. He didn't say, let's get the guy who deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, let's get a guy who will make a great story.
Well, that's what the problem is, though. If you're in the boxing world, you earn things. You fight your way up the chain. You know, you move through the ranks and you earn that spot. So to just give it to somebody for a big show, they may not respect that.
I agree with you. But at that point, I would say again to the fighter, listen, look, it's not like that's been taken away from you. Fight up to the world championship then. The path is the same as it's always been for you, guy. Just fight and win, and then you can fight Apollo Creed.
I don't think you'd make it in the boxing circles, Jerry.
I would.
I think if I were a boxer and we were having this conversation, I would have punched you in the face already.
Well, I'll say this. Listen, music is not a meritocracy very often. Yeah, there's all sorts of people who make all sorts of money, and you know, the in music, and their ability to play the instrument is not the reason that they're necessarily in the band. Everybody knows that. There's, you know, drummers are famous for saying, I could do that better. And the answer is, yeah, but you're not. You're not mm-hmm. in that band. That's not you on stage. So clearly, that guy did something that you didn't do. Maybe it was just being the lead singer's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he did.
Just right place, right time?
Yes, right place, right time with the right shoes. that's the maxim there, the aphorism, right place with the right time with the right shoes.
And you could say that about Rocky, right place at the right time with the right shoes.
With the right sure. shoes.
All right. We do have some stuff going on in this minute, though. I don't know if...
is any of this, guys... any of this in the minute we're talking about?
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And our fans love it when we tangent on things that don't happen in this minute. Actually, it's the tangents that don't have anything to do with Rocky that we hear shit about. But
well, at least this tangent we stuck pretty much to Rocky.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the minute, though.
All right. There's 20 seconds of chicken chasing here. Mm-hmm. So 20 seconds of it, I guess, I mean... It is a light minute, I guess, content-wise, so we can tangent a little bit. But Mickey's yelling at him the entire time he's mm-hmm. chasing the chicken. And here's what he's saying. Go on, get him. Come on, what's the matter with you? Pick him up, put him down. What's the matter? You're so fast. What, are you standing still or something? Speed, speed. Can't you catch a little chicken? Move your tail, and you look like a goyle out there.
No.
So he's just narrating the whole thing, just talking trash the entire time. I love it.
Yeah. I wondered who he was talking to. Was he talking to Rocky or the chicken?
Yeah, like when he said,
move your tail.
Yeah, yeah. He could have said ass. Sure. That still keeps it in the PG realm.
Yeah.
You look like a goyle out there. Yes, he could be talking to the chicken, too.
You look like a coil out there.
But Rocky, feels like a Kentucky Fried idiot.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the best lines of all six Rocky movies and two Creeds. I could not find, Jerry, one of our favorite things to do on the show is look an Urban Dictionary for certain words. because they rarely ever let you down. I tried to look up Kentucky Fried Idiot, but there was no definition on Urban Dictionary for Kentucky Fried Idiot. They have Kentucky Fried Asshole.
that's if you get the family bucket. That's the side that comes with it.
Well, I'll tell you the definition. the definition of Kentucky. It's not too different than what you're saying. It's the burning sensation you will feel in your asshole approximately 7 hours after eating a KFC Zinger meal as you sit on the commode holding your ankles and screaming at passersby to get Colonel Sanders.
7 hours? That's optimistic.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
You see, you have insides of titanium. You can last 7 hours.
It continues, though. It says, though a Zinger meal doesn't taste particularly spicy going in, on its way back out the other end, it feels as though an army of hornets are raking hot coals around your ring piece with a combine harvester.
Move your tail.
So there you have it.
What is Rocky's thing here? He's in an open courtyard with Mick and a chicken, and all of a sudden he's embarrassed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who's watching?
Who's watching? Nobody. They're not the goons across the street, not the not anybody from, the gym. What's mm-hmm. going on?
It's funny, we mentioned earlier in the last minute about CrossFit. In my notes for this, I have the chicken chasing hasn't really taken off, or I'd imagine it would be using CrossFit right now.
That was funny
enough. Yeah. Rocky's doing these unconventional training methods in the end. This is like the standard thing here. The old trainer comes up with the unconventional method. The guy questions it, makes fun of it, but in the end, it really works. We've seen this in movies many times before. Karate uh-huh. Kid sanding the deck and painting the house and painting the fence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and waxing the cars, right?
Wax on, wax off.
There was times when Daniel LaRusso felt like this was stupid and embarrassing, and what am I doing this for? Whatever. And in the end, you learn that it really worked and it really helped. And you think that we would all, as a society, learn not to question the training methods of the old trainer, but yet we do.
Well, the number one thing of that is the first lesson you know, of paramount importance is because I said so.
You know, Jerry, if let's see, Dave Lombardo or Neil Peart came up to you and said, you want to learn how to drum? First thing you got to do is mop my floor and do that for like weeks and weeks and weeks. You would say, this doesn't help me at all. This guy's making me his goddamn slave, much like Daniel LaRusso. But then you pick up the drumsticks and then you realize, holy shit, Neil Peart was onto something. And you start playing like him.
It's funny you mentioned Dave Lombardo because I met him backstage at an event, and a buddy of mine introduced us, and we were talking, and he actually, my buddy said, oh, Jerry, he plays with Dick Dale. And Dave Lombardo said, he goes, oh, that's fucking awesome, man. That guy's like the godfather of heavy metal.
Who the fuck is he?
That's great.
Dick Dale.
Yeah, and I was like,
drummer for Slayer.
I was like, that's Dave Lombardo.
Yeah. That's saying that Dick Dale is a legend.
Yeah, I was like, that's and that was a very I mean, he's a great guy, and it was a very cool moment, actually.
Yeah, I can
imagine.
It was
kind of a nice minute. It was just funny you mentioned him.
So, you know, I mentioned him because my brother,
he's an amazing drummer.
Yeah.
Incredible drummer. And a super, super nice guy. Yeah, I mean, he has left an indelible mark on the you know, drumming industry for sure.
One of the fastest double basses out there, right?
Yeah, yeah. He really put a lot of that style on the map.
Mm.
And for years and years and years, I mean, just driving.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like I said, my brother dabbled in drums, you know, in his youth. I don't know how much he plays anymore, but he was always like, Dave Lombardo was his guy. He loved Slayer too.
I saw him give a clinic many years ago, Dave Lombardo, and it was just one of those things. It was transfixing.
Mm-hmm.
You just believe it. You're like,
yeah
that it, that everything that guy's doing, I believe.
Right. And he started by mopping some legendary drummer's floor.
Oh, I'm sure. I was Count Basie's drummer said, Sonny Payne took him aside and said, well, listen, you need to, you know, run up the hill with brushes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, Jay's watching some Dave Lombardo video now. You're not impressed, Jay?
This seemed better.
This, you know, this minute actually has my favorite line in all of the movie, which is, what's with the domestic stuff? Yeah. I love that. What's with the domestic stuff?
I have my note for that is, has Mickey ever been in a relationship before?
No.
No, no, not with a greasy face like that.
No, no, it's instant turn off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like this is also the first time I think that he ever acknowledges that Paulie exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he looks right at him when Paulie's, let me see, where does he ask him?
You saying Paulie's dead?
No, we're not going down that rabbit hole again. So, you know, he asked him about Adrian. Like, right, first of all, his timing sucks. He's right in the middle of Rocky training.
Yeah.
This scene, it's funny we just said that you think Paulie's dead. This scene right now looks like Paulie's not really alive. Like, he's like, looks like kind of ghost or angel or something.
He's like an angel. Sitting there watching. Like, it actually
like,
does.
What are you doing,
look
Rock?
Like,
you're listening to this guy? This guy doesn't know how to fight. What are you training this guy for? Like,
he looks really small sitting back
right,
there.
Small and, like, out of place.
You know what's really a shame? Or maybe it's not a shame. Maybe it just makes the movie better, I guess, these Rocky movies. But Paulie kind of sucks.
Paulie kind of sucks.
He just sucks. Yeah, he just sucks as a human being. He kind of sucks. Like, you're like, oh, no, his heart's in the right place. You're like, nah, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's not. And if we can move ahead to other minutes,
we'll see.
Called out. You know, I love him, you don't. And I don't know. It's hard to say. He doesn't really care about Rocky. I mean, I know he does, but it's just, as a matter of fact, this whole town, like all of watching Rocky II is one of the things, you know, his loved ones, his associates, his peers, the locals. A lot of people aren't that cool to Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
They are when he runs through the street. Fine.
Right, right.
Fine. We need to have that. Fine. I get it. Of course, he runs through the street and everybody starts chasing him and go, go, go.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, outside of that, like, there are so many people that aren't cool to Rocky.
No, there was also when in the beginning of the movie, people were nice to him because they wanted something.
Yes. And that this is supposed to be the city of brotherly love.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. But
I mean, the only guy, I mean, what's his name? Is it Gazzo?
Yeah.
Is that his name? Yeah. He like, you know, he's a mobster. I mean, he's not like a terrible. I mean, he's a terrible guy, but he's not terrible to Rocky. Ironically, he's like, yeah, you can have your old job back.
Yeah.
And then when Rocky refuses him, he's kind of like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not like a jerk.
No, Gazzo genuinely cares about Rocky. At a point, there was the only people that were being nice to Rocky were people that wanted something from him. Like the nurse wanted the autograph.
Yep, the nurse wants the autograph. The priest takes the picture with the altar.
Yeah,
come on, man.
Gloria, the pet shop lady, wants Rocky to invest in the pet shop. Like, what kind of return is he going to get on that? Yeah, you know, Paulie, last movie, he wanted a job so he can get paid, you know, out of Rocky's winnings. Everybody was only nice to Rocky when they wanted something from him.
Now, these are people who've known this guy his entire life. They've watched the movie Rocky. They've lived it. You're like, and this is what they have to offer this dude?
Yeah.
Come on.
I thought that Paulie was universally disliked. I thought that, you know, high and low, people just, you know, like what you see is what you get with Paulie. But there was somebody recently in Mighty Mix, our listeners group, that was really defending Paulie and saying that he is a good person at heart. He really does care about Rocky. He does care about Adrian. Hang on, I got to wait for Jay to stop yawning.
No, some of us have been up since 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I've been up since 5 o'clock myself, so I don't want to hear that shit.
Doing what?
I couldn't sleep, so I went to the gym. So this guy was saying that Paulie really does care about Rocky, and you could tell later in the later movies when, you know, Rocky doesn't want to train his son in Rocky V, so Paulie takes it upon himself to train Rocky Jr. how to fight. You know what I mean? Like, little moments like that really show the humanity of Paulie. But I mean, it's hard to look past the emotional abuse that he doles out on Adrian. You know, that you can only assume has been going on for years and years and years.
Well, we discussed when we were in, like, prequel that... prequel. When we first started this whole thing, that one of the things is that Paulie changes throughout the movie. Like, he grows as a person, he grows as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to make somebody, if you have a character that you want to grow as a human being, they have to start off shitty at some point so that they can get more...
Yeah, but when is he cool? Like Rocky 7? I mean, I don't really see him changing that much. I mean, he's I don't know. I mean, he doesn't like completely beat Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he smacks the dish out of her hand or whatever, and he does cause her to hemorrhage.
Just, yeah.
And almost miscarriage. It's just, I don't know, it's just the whole, it's interesting to have a character like that who's part of the family, and it just is. It's interesting. I don't really see him as the guy who has a heart of gold, and he's just sort of misunderstood in the beginning. He's actually not cool.
No. He does have some moments here and there where he seems genuine and caring, but I mean, those are pretty few and far between.
And you have to slog through like miles of his shit to get there, and then when you do, you're like, oh, so you're like a regular guy who would care about me, like just
hard on him.
Regular.
I think the most obvious example of his goodness is in Rocky IV. Jay, I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead a couple movies,
Jesus,
if you don't mind.
Christ.
And he says, you know, like, this isn't my way. But if I can unzip myself and step in, out and be somebody, I'd want to be you. You're all heart, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's, yeah, that's
Ben
that's
takes
a...
takes it back, so wait.
Oh, yeah, he takes it back after he sees the size of Drago. But...
And it's also, how long's he known Rocky? 15 years?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 20 years for him to say that?
Yeah, it took him 20 years to get there.
Right.
Well.
Well, I'll say I'm amazed that Rocky is so candid with Paulie about the domestic friction. And it shows you that Rocky is really underwater here if he's asking Paulie to talk to Adrian.
Yeah, I had a note that says, why would he think Paulie could be the voice of reason for Adrian?
Exactly. And what's interesting is I think it shows you how off he is.
Mm-hmm. Rocky?
Rocky, yeah. He's kind of stumbling about, and he's kind of lost and clueless and directionless.
Yeah, he's not himself. If he's going to Paulie for help, he's not himself.
I understand if he's going to Paulie maybe about his car or, you know, something like that. I don't know. But not talking to, not dealing with stuff with, you know, his marital friction.
His domestic stuff?
Yeah, his domestic stuff. You know, what I love about this scene is that, you know, Rocky has the rope tied around his right arm. And you're like, okay, so without Adrian's support, he's literally fighting with one arm tied behind his back.
Man. See, this is why we have you on, for those deep...
Deep, very deep.
those deep dives like that, because, you know... Yeah.
I mean, you see it, you're like, oh, they're trying to get him to strengthen his left arm or whatever, and you're like, no, he's literally, fighting with one arm tied behind his back without Adrian's support. And what's so interesting is that, you know, you see in Rocky One, it's just him. It's like, yes, he believes in himself. This is his crusade. This is his battle. This is what he's doing. And he needs him, and it's all within him, you know. But in Rocky Two, you're like, huh. So the marital unit is now what he needs. Like, he actually cannot fight successfully. As a matter of fact, he's putting himself in great danger unless he has the support of Adrian.
Yeah, I mean, he's already taken the fight.
Yeah.
You know, without doing a single day of training, he took the fight. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess he could back out, but that's not going to really quiet the people that says he's got no heart.
It sets up a very interesting question of, you know, what do you do in a relationship like that? You know, is he supposed to, quote, be a man and do all that thing and pay attention to, he's a fighter and that's what he is, despite the fact that he's constantly putting himself at risk, and now he's married and she's pregnant and they got a kid, and you're like, dude, if you lose your, if you get hoit poimanently, like, who knows? You could have, they talk about brain damage and all the time. They're already worried about him. And so is he being selfish or is he being true to himself? And now we have Adrian over here, and it's like he really has to pay attention to what his spouse is saying. Which of these is going to win out? I feel like, yeah, it's all nice and cleaned up perfectly when she comes out of a coma and goes, win! But what if she was like, dude, I'm in a coma. Like, you haven't even seen our son yet? I'm in a coma, and you're thinking about fighting? Like, are you nuts? Like, that's a perfectly plausible scene. In real life. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm hemorrhaging here, and you're still thinking about fighting? Like, I'm not even going to be able to walk around or work for, like, 8 weeks.
And what if he gets hoit poimanent?
What if he gets hoit poimanent?
And she's laid up in the hospital still.
Maybe she's hoit poimanent now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, at what point is it he's being true to himself, and we all know Rocky's a fighter, and that's the whole point, he's true to himself. Or what point is it it's like he got married and he's being, you know, he's being myopic and blind and selfish, and he's, you know, completely not paying attention to his marital and parental responsibilities.
We've been back and forth on this discussion a few times, and it's really one of Jay's real heavy discussion points. Is Rocky fighting because he's a fighter, he's a boxer, it's in his blood, it's in his DNA, or is he doing it because his family's struggling and they need the money? Because there's two different motivations there.
You know what sucks? Is all these people in this city of brotherly love, it's not that hard. You know, open a Ford dealership, Rocky Balboa Ford, or, you know, just come into the gym and be, just be a trainer. You don't have to clean up spit buckets. It's like, how about being paid to be a trainer? He's clearly a great boxer. I mean, he could be a personal trainer.
But that's one of the problems I have is that he didn't try anything. He applied for like fucking three jobs. He worked in the meat place, and then it was like, all right, I guess I'll go back to fighting. Like, he didn't try to do anything else. Like, he didn't try to be a boxing trainer. He didn't try to open a Ford dealership. He didn't try. Like, it was just they kind of just fast-forwarded through, and they didn't. That's why I'm confused about the reason he's fighting, because he really, really didn't give the outside non-boxing world a really honest shot.
Well, and so that's a great point. Now, they make it look like he did because he's got the blue shirt on, the blue suit, and he goes to the bank, and they're like, how about some menial labor? You know, and you're just kind of like, okay, look, the guy's a hometown hero. He clearly, I mean, if you run through the streets and there's 800 people running behind you, you mean to tell me none of them are like, hey, you know what, Rock? We could use a guy to, minister to the youth in the neighborhood, and it's a decent paying job. We actually get grants from the city. You know what I mean? And we're trying to keep, you know, kids in school, or we're trying to, you know, because he says at one point, you know, I wish I had stayed in school, you know, about, you're like, yeah, or he could do like an after school program at the gym or with running, or hell, the dude could get paid to run through the city every day.
But that was, he just brought up a valid point. He just brought up a point that made me remember something, not a valid. So he goes, the guy offers him a menial labor job, and he says no. And then he goes to work in the meat factory, which is a menial labor job. And then he's upset when he gets laid off. Like, when he got laid off, why didn't he go back to temp agency and go, you know what, it turns out I'm pretty good at the menial labor, so I'll take one of those jobs.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't try to do shit, dude. No. He went for the free jobs, and then Adrian went back to the pet shop.
And and not only that, but all those people running behind him, like, none of them can think of any job for Rocky Balboa. And he doesn't need to do, like, a commercial where he has to read off placards or anything. I mean, he could do something else. Go to the convention center for amateur boxing night, you know?
But even the docs, everybody at the docs knew him. The guy he let go and he didn't break his thumb. Why didn't he go to that guy and say, hey, listen, remember when I let you go and I didn't break your thumb? Yeah, can you find me a job?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't network himself at all, dude. No. It was like he tried three things, and it was like, all right, I'm going back to boxing.
Or how about if he just did, like, print commercial work? Like, for instance, sell the leather tiger jacket. Mm-hmm. Like, in a Kohl's catalog or something.
Right. All you got to do is pose.
You know? All you got to do is pose. Exactly. You don't need to read anything.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. Bouncing came up a couple of times. Like, he could go be a bouncer at, like, a high-end nightclub.
Absolutely.
He's cut out for that.
Bouncing. How do you go from being Rocky Balboa to bouncer?
How do you go from Rocky Balboa to working in a meat house?
Somebody would give him a job, I would think. That's all I'm saying. Somebody would give him a job to be Rocky Balboa. That's all.
Well, he's told to jab that till it hoits 500 times without stopping, and that's the end of the minute. That's a lengthy one. So we'll stop it here, and any other thoughts we have, we can carry it on to next minute. So, Jerry, where can the people find you out there?
They can find us at the IndianaJonesMinute.com, where we talk about the Indiana Jones movies. And, yeah, I mean, it gets as ridiculous as all of this does.
It sure does.
Bad archaeology and, you know, father-son relationships, the whole thing.
What you do find over there that you don't find here is educated discussion. We're just
generous of you.
That's mostly on Pete's part. We're
he's the ringer. Tommy and I are just we're collecting the spit buckets.
All right, fair enough.
You can find us all the places at Rocky Minute. You know, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Gmail. Listeners group is MightyMix.com, and you can find all of our episodes on Dueling Genre, as well as some other minute-by-minute movies that you might want to check out. So when you're done watching, listening to Rocky Minute, go check out some of those.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like to point out also on Dueling Genre, they have a support button on the website. You can come support DuelingGenre.com by subscribing to the Patreon, and you get extra content, weekend episodes, and they're doing a Scott Pilgrim versus the World minute by minute, but that's only available to the Patreon subscribers. So if you're into that, you gotta become a subscriber to the Dueling Genre Patreon. So yeah, you can find that through the website.
All right, so head over there and check it out.
Check it out.
See you tomorrow. It's Friday. TGIF.
No, it's not.
Tomorrow's Wednesday. Why the f*** can I get this right? What is the problem? Tomorrow's Wednesday, hump day.
All right.
So, see everybody tomorrow.
What are we waiting for? Take this!
Hello, and welcome back to Rocky Minute, the daily podcast where we look like a girl out there on Kentucky. See, now you. Yeah.
My fault.
That was not my fault. That was Doug's fault.
Write your own goddamn intros.
No. Don't deflect. I know I always mess up the intro, but this one was not my fault. I read it verbatim, what's on the screen here.